Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Wednesday, February the 5th, 2025, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me. Now, we had a private conversation before this, before I started recording, and I just heard that Scott Bennett, my friend, he's been dead for a couple months or something. I don't know. I'll look it up today and see what the scoop is. But Scott worked in the same building as Ed Snowden, and I've got an audio of him talking about it with former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney that I'm pulling out of archives and going to put up there today, but along with this show and a show that Joe and I did a couple days ago, which hadn't been posted yet. But Joe, what's subject matter today?
Well, the important thing is, well, what's going on with Trump, particularly when he received Netanyahu to make arrangements for what's going to happen to Gaza. It's what many of us have said before. They're going to turn part of Gaza into a resort. But the truth of the matter is, what they're really after is the mineral deposits, mainly natural gas. And they're going to develop that, and they've already laid a pipeline, that is Israel, that will end up in Italy. And then from there, they'll be able to compete with the Russians in giving natural gas to Europe. And to complete that pipeline, they had to go through Syria, and that's what was the real importance concerning Syria. So since Assad was taken down from office, it looks like the Israelis, we really call it the banksters, have won that bout, and they will be able to take advantage of going to part across Syria and then further north to where it will then be refined and then sent to Europe. So we have the entire Gaza flattened, and you have these thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are marching there. And remember, for those of you that are your Christian Zionists, let me remind you that many of the one-third of the Palestinians in the Gaza were Christians. One of the oldest churches, going back all the way to the first century, was bombed, leveled, gone. And that church was still being used to this day. And there's a lot of hanky-panky that everybody knows concerning October the 7th and who was really behind it and what really happened. I can guarantee you that the half of those 1,200 or 1,500 Israelis that were killed by friendly fire from helicopters. If you can, find the pictures of these rows and rows and rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of cars just ripped up by 20-millimeter cannon fire. And you can see it happen.
Now, the Palestinians are Hebrews from ancient times, according to some.
No. The Palestinians are composed of Arabs and old Hebrews. Many of the Muslims and the Christians can trace their ancestry going back all the way to the first century. So what we have in there today are called the Ashkenaz. Those are the ones that run Israel. They're the more European Jew. Go ahead, Stu.
Okay, or Khazars.
That's another story. Yeah. We won't go into that.
But go ahead, Joe.
So anyway, what was the United States becoming sovereign over Gaza? How can you do that in international law? I'm quite sure that they found their ways to bend the law. But in its correct interpretation, I don't think you can do that. And so when we talk about the Gaza, the United States is now the sovereign of Gaza. And guaranteed, it's going to be again the American taxpayer who's going to foot the bill for the redevelopment of Gaza. And I can guarantee you, with Jared Kushner being down there parceling it up to be sold to Israeli businessmen for resort living.
Yep. Yeah, he had his hands in the deal here a year and a half ago, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
People have to know something about Kirshner. Donald Trump's son-in-law, but Eric Kirshner was in the White House, heard every conversation Donald Trump ever had with anybody during his first term, and Kirshner had no national security clearance because he's a Mossad operative, Mossad agent, so that automatically got him his clearance. Go ahead, Joe.
So when you get and take a look at this, that means the Palestinian is going to be shipped out of their country. Now think of yourself, a United States citizen. An adversary comes in and destroys everything, kicks you out of the land, and you end up in a foreign country. How are you going to feel? How are you going to think? How are you going to function? And this is what is happening to the Palestinian. And that's going to happen up to the West Bank. It's all been planned out. The Palestinian is going to be shipped out.
Now, Joe,
that is where the cruelty is incalculable of what happened there. Don't forget it. This Palestinian thing goes way back, and all you have to do is get an objective printout on the history of Palestine, or if you want to, I'm using that word, Palestine, and how it was supposed to be portioned out. And so, unfortunately, we have these thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are going to be dispossessed. And who's going to foot the bill? The United States citizen.
And how many people were killed over there? About 600,000 to 800,000?
Of women and children, I would say about 300,000.
Well, I heard something on the mainstream media here in the past couple of days. Forgot where it was, NBC or something, saying they were saying that it was closer to 600,000 people, but they said it could be higher than that. So that came off of mainstream. Okay, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's meaningless mainstream.
And remember, there were two factions that were running the Palestinian. The Palestinian Authority, which was more benevolent and more negotiable than the non-negotiable Hamas. And one of the generals within the Israeli Defense Forces came out and said, "We did sponsor and push Hamas. And Hamas took over and became militant. We can take on the IDF and defeat them." And they won't. It'll just go into, guess what? Asymmetrical warfare. And that's what's going to happen. The Israelis will pull back. And guess who's going to have to go take care of the Gaza as the Gaza is being developed? The United States. They've already signed the commitment. And they're denying boots on the ground for now. But guaranteed, boots will be on the ground.
Yeah, they will.
And so there we go again. Another bring in, let the United States citizen pay for it all. Which, by the way, one thing I'll say good about Trump, when they have disclosed what is called aid, it is U.S. aid. It was an agency developed by Kennedy that would lend money to developed nations that have been through war to stabilize them. But we're finding out the big recipients of this are people like George Soros. And these millions and millions and millions of dollars have been fed into them, into the Open Society Fund and into the Endowment Fund. And tomorrow are going to begin the protest. And I can tell you, here in Phoenix, we had people come in recruiting individuals to become crisis actors. Think of 180 days in Portland, of where you have fire bombings of a federal building by these activists called Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, this is just a few years ago.
Yeah, and so now you're seeing how an agency that was developed to help people was turned into corruption. And so maybe I hope that they reveal the absolute fraud of USA aid, where you call it foreign aid, which way back in the 60s and 70s, Congressman Ward about foreign aid and how it could be misused, and, well, it developed that.
It was misused because I heard something on here. We come again, mainstream media report, and this isn't, you know, some it's NBC and some it's ABC and some it's Fox and so forth, but these others, I don't want to waste my time, but they came in and they said that one of the things that Musk shut down when he shut it down was the fact that some country, forgot which one it was, that they had developed an ad for AC/DC, and they did a documentary telling kids it's okay to be a queer, it's okay to be a lesbian, and all this other, and they made it for that country, for they could show it to their kids.
I thought, you are hitting it right on the head, Stu, because that is one of the things that was funded was LGBT. It was through USAID that all of the millions of dollars went to LGBT. The whole thing from beginning to end was corrupt. It's a small minority thinking that they are the majority. And it's a psychological warfare. And so now tomorrow is going to begin. They're going to start protesting against Trump. They'll keep beating the drum. They'll cause extreme behavior, hoping that it will suck in the police. And it could be that some planted crisis actors come in and cause the cops to use lethal force. You get a bunch of protesters killed. Then it started.
Crisis actors, also known as human resources, that were used on the day of January the 6th, when the Capitol was broken into, and many of them worked directly for the FBI. They're FBI human resources. They don't carry a badge. But did any of them, they got arrested, and they turned around and let them right out the back door.
Exactly. That's what happened up in Portland, Seattle, everywhere. For anywhere Antifa was, or Black Lives Matter, and the corruption, and when you hear the real story of where the money went, well, it's maximum corruption.
And Max. And Trump, he ordered our U.S. general, I forgot his name, ordered him to send troops in to stop the rioting and the burning and the looting and all that went on there. And he turns around and tells him no. He doesn't follow his order. And that was one of the things that Bill Barr was doing, screwing him, the U.S. Attorney General. Bill Barr is a criminal. He worked for Daddy Bush when Daddy Bush was CIA director. He was the one that counseled Norman Brownstein, the one that board of directors of Silverado Savings, Neil Bush, with Iran-Contra money laundering. But anyway.
So tomorrow, keep your eye on the news. And in my opinion, there's going to be somehow a kind of a great shaking that's beginning to happen.
There's going to be some shaking going on. Now, we talked about this and about earthquakes starting to flare up along California coast in the past couple of weeks and different stuff and other places. And there's something getting ready to happen. And it deals with Christ. And people are going to have to understand that you're going to have to be right with Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and to be praying to Him all the time and asking for angels of protection around you. It says in Psalms 92, He'll give them to you. And do it in His name and by His blood and by His stripes. Right, Joe?
That is correct. When everybody says, where's God in all of this? And this is where Jesus said, you have to pick up your cross and bear it. That's not such an easy thing to do. However, there are people who have found that by turning to Jesus and making your trust in Him, that things can go a little bit better, and you might break onto to the other side. That's why I recommend some books. A long time ago, when at Veterans Today, there's one book that I always recommend, and that's by The Power of the Blood by White, W-H-Y-T-E, Tortured for Christ. Wernher Brand, who was held in a cell and never saw daylight for 5 years, but a light came in. It was Jesus that came in and lighted up his cell so that he could have light. Then the other one, of course, is, did you read my book by Dr. Richard Eby and explain to you what is the soul body? And in that experience, Dr. Eby found out the truth, what it is. You are a soul body and a physical body. And so this is what we mean when we say turn to Jesus. We want to turn that soul body to him. Because of the coming time, you're going to have to bear your cross. We had to do a little bit of preaching there.
Hey, I understand. I understand
that's
totally.
That's okay, because there will be somebody out there that will benefit from it, that will have maybe lost it all, but maybe can get through somehow to the other side, to break on through to the other side as the Doors and their music break on through to the other side. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with this thing about Israel, and that's going to be a tough one, because that's the Americans are going to have to take care of the Palestinians. How is that going to happen? How is it going to be paid for? Because there's a lot of people standing there with their hands out, like Jared Kushner, who represents a body of investors. And make no bones about it, he was there way back, seeing where it could be parceled out to the investors to make it into a resort, to make it into a Riviera. Pretty nice, huh?
Yeah. What they need to do to solve the immediate crisis, I mean, I was in the building business, they could build some small houses, attachable, fourplexes, eightplexes, the whole bit, or they could get Elon Musk's new little portable housing for $15,000 and set it right on a foundation, just set it on a slab, okay, and set it on blocks, and it'd give immediate housing to all the Palestinians. At $15,000 a piece, where a house is going to cost you probably about $40,000-$50,000 in material or more, going to the Middle East, believe me, a lot more than that. But that might be the solution for the Palestinians. It's a thought, Elon.
Yeah, that is, Stu. That's not too bad of an idea.
And they're passive solar. They got skylights in them. They got a lot of glass in them. And over there, it's warm temperatures, so that helps them. And all they need to do is put a photovoltaic on it, and some battery storage and an inverter, and they get themselves total solar and total electricity. And they could do that for less than $5,000, which is what's on the market today. So
then I would say for the Palestinian to give up on this Hamas thing and revert back to the Palestinian Authority, where there is a negotiation.
Yep, that's wise. Now, a lot of people don't really realize what happened with Israel, because the Christian community, in particular in America, are just dumbfounded, because so many have gotten into this that 700 Club and Jimmy Swaggart and all these phony balonies. And the ones say, oh, you know, Israel first and support Israel. There's several of them out there now. And Christ didn't want him to be in the pulpit to put $2.5 billion worth of wealth like that guy in Houston has, the one that rents the arena.
Oh, yeah.
They,
I don't think we're talking about, yeah, yes.
They don't want, you know, Christ didn't mean for that to happen. It was supposed to be, you know, you're out there preaching, you collect donations, but use the money to help the needy, the ones that are in need, period. In need of food, in need of clothing, in need of shelter. Use it for that purpose, not be out there filling your pockets and building your big new houses and driving your fancy cars and all the other. That wasn't what it was about. So, they got their day of punishment, in my opinion, coming. But they fooled a lot of people. come keep the bench warm, and oh, God will forgive you for all your sins out during the week. And oh, if you need prayer, come on up here, I'll pray for you. Well, I don't need someone else to pray for me. If they want to pray with me for some purpose, then that's okay too. Where two or more come together, I'm in your midst, he said. And he is. But the power of prayer is very powerful. He taught me the power of prayer, seriously, in 1997. And I'll tell you what, I've used it against the enemy so many times, and I've seen the damage to the enemy without explaining it or saying anything about it. And they've tried to pay me back 40-some-odd times. They tried to kill me, 40 or 41. I think the event here a couple, 3 days ago, the shaking I got, Joe, I think that was her satellite poking on me. It did some serious... I was losing it, screaming the blood of Jesus. But anyway, it wasn't pleasant. I thought I was going to die. But it was in the middle of the day, right at the sink, and bouncing my head off the frigate sink. I said, oh my God. But they've upped the ante, the enemy has, against all of us human beings.
That is a very good word. They've upped the ante. And this is how it's going to be with Trump. Trump will then up the ante, then they'll up the ante, and it'll continue on down that way. But just remember that in Matthew, when the apostles or the disciples came to Jesus, and we saw Lucifer fall from the sky as lightning to the ground. And that was the time that Lucifer and his fallen angels were defeated by Jesus at the cross, at the crucifixion. By his stripes you are healed.
Yep. Now the thing is, we played part of Brandon.
Biggs.
We played part of his tape, praying for Trump's safety, asking everybody to do it and to join in. We need to be praying daily for the safety of this planet. Seriously, and stop all these wars and stuff. Now, we know it's the fallen angels, which is the aliens, a certain portion of them. You got the Galactic Federation, and then you've got the Confederation, and the Con, the bad guys, they're deep inside the Navy, should we say. Now, they're all aligned with the aliens, and the aliens are the fallen angels. They're in... What people saw at Roswell... Happened to be that my friend, Aurora, one of the pilots on Area 51, Heinrich Rupp, Harry Rupp, he's dead now, but he was one of the pilots on a tape that we put up about October surprise, how Jimmy Carter got screwed out of the election. Harry flew Daddy Bush into Area 51, or not Area 51, Papoose Lake, Nevada, where Ed Slade worked. The scientist I came to know, and he's dead also, but Harry had told me that we pulled his plane inside the mountain, and they had fans going to suck the fumes out and tell him to shut it down. He did, and then Bush gets off, they push the thing up against the jet, and this is when Bush was president, and he's flying in an Air Force jet, but Harry was his pilot, and Harry had been Adolf Hitler's pilot at 17 years of age, and defected after 6 months of serving underneath Adolf Hitler. He wanted out of that evil mess. So he defected to the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which later became the CIA, should we say. Now, Harry told me about flying Bush in there, and then they told him, he said, you see the line? You go past that line. Any place past that line, and the lasers is going to kill you. And he pointed up to him, said, you're to stay within this line, Harry, not to cross the line. Well, Bush crossed the line, and he went on down in a go-kart-looking thing through the tunnel. And Harry said, they told him there's a restroom down there, you can get a shower or a break, and there's beds in there, and a place you can take a nap, and, there's food dispensary area in here, and the whole bit. So he goes wandering around. And then he said, I got something to eat. And he says, and I turned around and I decided to go take a piss. He says, I walk in the bathroom. He says, there's about 24 aliens along the wall in formation. little grays that they saw at Roswell, little gray men. He says, I'm looking at that, looking at it. He says, it frightened the hell out of me at first. But he said, then I realized, no, these are on hangers. These are suits on hangers. They've got it lined all along this wall. He said, I went up and touched it, and it felt like it was human skin. It wasn't like a fabric would be. So, what did they have at Roswell? Invisibles? Little demon flies a saucer in there. There's this little, they want you to make it think they're little aliens. No. The fallen angels are possessing, according to Super Spook Otis Johnson, that's now dead, that worked for General Flynn, who was a good friend of mine, okay? He was a 007. Punch it in my search box on my site, and you can see several links. But 007 said, he calls me up today after my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, died in 2004, and he says, well, Leonard's dead. I said, what? He said, Leonard Millman's dead. I said, good. I said, maybe I'd get some of the heat off me. He goes, no, Stu. He says, let me tell you something. Whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years before it inhabited him. He says, now it's inhabiting Larry Mizell, because he was the chosen one by the 12 disciples of Satan, and replacement of Leonard Millman. Leonard handpicked him because he had killed 150 people along with John King, the Denver cop, not King Resources, but the Denver cop, that hit the United Bank building and shot four guards. That was their drug location that Millman had, laundering money after Silverado was closed down. So they used United Bank, his other bank, in there. And in the basement, the guy walks right up, John King, puts his card in the deal, and walks inside and shoots him because they stole $5,000 of the drug money from the cartel, from Mizell. Mizell and Millman. So that's the kind of stuff. And the guy got off. He was never charged, prosecuted by the U.S. attorney. It was the local city attorney that prosecuted him, and he got off because they had the best attorneys. But that's the kind of things that go on that people just don't even realize. But this guy now, Larry Mizell, is in control of BlackRock, Blackstone, which was started with Silverado drug money that we talked about in the previous show, Joe, that is going to be up today. Now, that money can all be taken back by the United States government because it was derived for more than $1, millions of dollars was dumped into Blackstone. And now it's BlackRock, a subsidiary of Blackstone. But because it was drug money that initially started it, buying up shopping centers, the government can confiscate it all. Larry Mizell today has a guy named Larry Fink running BlackRock, or Blackstone, or BlackRock they call it, running that. They own 2/3 of the stock of every corporation around the world. 2/3 of the stock, folks. That's huge. That's a fallen angel-possessed human being. Larry Mizell in Denver, Colorado. He was on the board of directors along with Neil Bush, who was Millman had hired, Norman Brownstein, and they were both on the board of directors of Silverado when I got it shut down and causing the congressional investigation into it. Now, there was $12 trillion in 9 years of drug money laundered through the place. Serious money. That has grown, that empire has grown with Blackstone, BlackRock, the subsidiary, financial subsidiary, largest bank in the United States. They've grown to a corporation that Larry Fink runs for Larry Mizell, and it's 2/3 of the stock of all corporations around the world they own. They own all the defense contractors now. Boeing and all the others. There's about four of the major ones that are supplying all these weapons and missiles and stuff to the Ukraine with our taxpayers' money and overcharging. They're making a fortune. That's Larry Mizell in Denver. Millman hired him out of law school, out of Boulder, and hired Norman Brownstein. And then 3 years later, 5 years later, Norman Brownstein ends up as head counsel to then CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush back in the 1970s. And Bill Barr, the Attorney General underneath Trump's first term, that is coming out and lying about him and doing everything else. It was obstruction, all kind of justice up there when he was attorney general in the first round of Trump. The guy should be in jail for what he did. But he served underneath Norman Brownstein when Daddy Bush was CIA director and Brownstein was his head counsel. Then Brownstein goes back to work for Milman in Denver. And what does he do? He sets up trusts. Trust folks. Trusts. I mean, corporations, trust. And he was the one laundering money from Hillary Clinton. The trusts that were coming out of the Rose Law Firm, that were coming from Patrick Fong, Chinese intelligence that owned Worthington Bank of Little Rock, narcotics money laundering from that pure China white heroin they were bringing over, and he wasn't allowed to own a bank. Well, you had to be a national of China to have a trust in China. Well, that's what he was doing. He was supplying the trust to Hillary, and she passed them up to Brownstein. And Brownstein is the trust, one of the trusts that they had in China, is the one that claims that they own the Panama Canal. But go ahead, Joe.
Well, we might add to when Stu says, Mizell has something in him. What he's talking about is, you'd have to go read some of the stuff that David Icke, I-C-K-E, has written. He does a lot of clarification for people when they mean possessed. And what it means is that a fallen angel alien can possess you or get the means to possess you. And this fallen angel can be using that physical body called Larry Mizell, sitting on the Council of 13. Tell them about the Council of 13, Stu.
Well, it's the 12 disciples of Satan, the 12 richest fucking people in the world, and they're also the 13th on the council is the devil himself, supposedly. Comes, appears when they do human sacrifices on little infants and drink its blood and doing that kind of stuff. But they go screwing their own kids and screwing their buddies' kids before they go do the human sacrifice. They're sick fucks. But you got the 12, and then the 13th one, it comes and appears, the devil, like the one that appeared in my bedroom that night was a human sacrifice in Denver. I guarantee it was. Just before my kid was born. And here's the devil appear in my bedroom. Breaks the front door down in Dallas, in Addison. Breaks the front door down. I said, oh,
how did you find out about Larry Mizell being possessed?
Otis told me. When Milman died, he called me the next day and told me he was dead. And I said, well, that's good.
He
said,
no, he says, tell me who Otis is.
Otis Johnson?
Yes.
Well, Otis was a super spook. And he was recruited in Air Force Intelligence. And he sat on silos, the headquarters, which is not, I'm not going to push it too much, but the headquarters for NORAD is Omaha, supposedly. Well, it isn't quite. It's someplace else. In Nebraska. And there's a lot of different silos in Nebraska. A lot of them. And there's a lot of activity throughout the Midwest. But Otis was on missiles. He was at the command center there. And in Air Force Intelligence. Then he got recruited into the CIA. So he went over to the CIA. They put him in with Jerry Henderson. Jerry Henderson was a corporation. It was one of built tank busters, airplanes. I'm trying to think of it. But he had his headquarters in Las Vegas, and it's all up there. If you punch in 007 on my site, you'll see pictures of an secret underground house that's and five stories below ground, right off the Vegas Strip. And you see his office building. Well, Jerry Henderson was in charge of a fund from the CIA company Avon, products for women, clones, and all the other. And Avon was the CIA front company, and Jerry Henderson ran it. And that's how he got his money, starting in 1952. But he was funding covert operations of state. So he was the guy that they came to get the money, and he had the Dalsan Bank in Switzerland and the Dalsan Bank building there in off the strip. And Spencer and Flamingo is where it was at. Anyway, you go up 007 Ellis Johnson, you see pictures that are public now that were never public before, because after Henderson's death, Daddy Bush bought the place and then started renting it out to weddings and stuff. A Florida corporation, Daddy Bush. Well, because I tracked it down. But that was after he murdered Henderson, because he was shipping Grumman Aerospace, that's what it was. They were shipping these tank busters, F-10 tank busters, or what do they call them, airplanes, over to Iraq and Iran. And they had bill ladings from the U.S. government, but he never got paid. He realized Daddy Bush set him up, and he just shipped these weapons illegally. So he's deciding he's going to rat him out. Well, he finds out about it because he's setting up hearings to go testify for Congress, Henderson, and they murdered his ass. And then his wife's dead two years later, but he was worth $3.5 trillion when he died, a covert black budget operation money. So they all had to come to him. Well, Otis was his partner in case something happened to him. Otis was directly the second in charge of his corporation, which was the money side of it. But Jerry Henderson had a very unusual guy that Jerry's was five stories below ground, and then there was a tunnel from there over to his house, and there's pictures of both the house, and you'll see the building, fourth floor for lease for such and such amount of money underground. It's up there under 007, Otis Johnson. But those pictures surfaced here in the past couple of years or whatever it was. I was able to get them because they had taken pictures of the place and media after his death. But Jerry Henderson, the fourth floor below ground, his office was a fifth in the Dalsan building, right across from where they built a new house up on top of this. It opened up gates. Iron gates opened up, and he'd drive right in on top of an elevator that took him down to the fifth floor in his limo, and they closed back up. And they actually used that scene from that in a true 007 movie, one of those 007 movies. But they only took the picture of it opening up, and I remember seeing it in the film. And anyway, Otis was his partner. The fourth story below ground was Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes, Mr. CIA, the Glomar Explorer. Glomar, G-O-O-M-A-R-E, Explorer. It was a ship that they built to pull stuff up wreckage off the bottom of the ocean. Well, they found out that a Russian sub had sunk, and the Russians couldn't find it. And it sunk to the bottom of the ground, but they were picking it up off a satellite, the U.S. government was. He said, son of a bitch, we're going to send Otis out there and pick that thing up. So they sent Otis in charge of the team with the Glomar Explorer. And he said, Stu, the damn thing was so heavy. He said, we wrapped cable around this, piping around the sub. And he says, what we did is put on the air that, and I saw it. It was up on the History Channel. And they had his face there. And when I told him, he said, they got me on there. He says, yeah, you're standing in front of the pipe, supposedly shoving it down into the ocean to pick up these rare minerals that the Glomar is sucking up and finding out what these minerals laying on the ocean floor. And they put on this big facade why they were working to get that damn sub up, the U.S. was. He said, when we were out there, he said, Stu, he says, we had to bring in pontoons, big pontoons to hook onto the ship to keep from sinking us. It was so fucking heavy. And he said, on top of it, he said, we were surrounded by nuclear subs, Russians. They didn't know what we were doing. And they were out there in international water, and they're still looking for their lost sub. He said, we were able to pick that thing up, and he said, we cracked it in half. We got it up far enough. We got the codes out of it and everything, and he said, we took the bodies out of it, and he said, we buried them at sea and then released the video to the Russians, he said, 10 years later, that we buried their bodies. But he said, we got the codes out of there. And he said, that helped America in our defenses. That was his first big project. He had many, many other projects. He says, you know, he said one time, he said, they sent me in, Stu, to run a crew to get rid of certain major drug dealers. So he says, we go in, and we're not going to kill him. He said, we surround him, we got him, and we give him a gun. which with one bullet in it. He said, usually like a 22 or 9 millimeter, and told him to put it in her mouth, and you got 5 minutes to do your praying and all the other, and otherwise we're going to kill you right here. They'd take the gun, they'd go into their bedroom, and they'd kill themselves. And so he never had to kill him, he said. He never had to kill anybody. But he snuck into Russia as a farmer from Nebraska under some kind of a commodity exchange, knowledge, where you're teaching their farmers how to grow, and they're teaching our farmers. So they come over to America. Well, Nebraska was a hub of it. So there was a piece of ground that the CIA put in Otis's name, and the whole bit made him look like a big farmer, and it wasn't even his farm. But they made it look that way so he could be part of this new delegation to go over and teach the others. Because Russia had out in Siberia had set up a new sub-base, and they couldn't penetrate it because they had an iron dome, more or less, lead over the top of it, so they couldn't see what the fuck was in the base and how many subs were in there and all that. They had to have pictures. So they sent him in on the delegation. He goes over to Moscow, and he disappears. And they're saying, where's this Otis Johnson at? Where's this guy at? And the whole bit. They couldn't find him. Well, he was already tracking over to Siberia to get his pictures with his high-lens camera. He got him. He got out of there. He says, Stu, I ran for 5 days and 6 nights. He says, stealing clothes off of people's clotheslines in the evening and daytime. He said, changing clothes, stealing bicycles, hitchhiking. He says, getting rides here and there. And the whole bit, he said, I did this. He said, I get into Iran, and they extracted me out of there immediately. And I got back to the United States, and under my debriefing, he says, I had my first heart attack. I said, oh, shit. But that was Otis. That was another covert operations state. And he was buried in Ponca City, Oklahoma, underneath the name Otis Johnson, with that Social Security number he had from Nebraska. And all of a sudden, he's got a new ID, a new Social Security number, and it's Otis Johnson once again. But I met him in jail when I was in Denver, Colorado. He had been William Casey's direct assistant when Casey was murdered. Bush came over, broke his door down, had two goons holding Casey, William Casey, CIA director underneath Bush. He said, I've had enough of Bush and his stealing of America and his Iran-Contra crap. He said, someone's going to have to testify. So he was going to go do it. And so Bush breaks, goes over, two goons holding him down. He takes a needle and hits him in his temple and calls him a cerebral hemorrhage. Well, he lived for about 10 days or 14 days or whatever it was. And Otis went and saw him at the hospital, the Naval Base Hospital up there. And he said they had the floor closed above and the floor closed down below. Secret Service did and the whole bit. And they had, you know, nursing staff 24/7 and doctors on him and everything. And he was running his mouth, telling everybody what Bush had done and how Bush tried to kill him and the whole bit. Well, Otis saw him during a period of time because Otis, he told Otis what happened. But Casey was running an operation in secret to try to clean some stuff up. And one of them was Louisiana governor. He was involved in all kinds of drug shit with Bush and Ollie North and all of them, and he wanted him out of business. He was also stealing money from a bank, Valley Bank, I think, not Valley, a bank in Canada, part of Power Financial that Leonard Millman inherited from Meyer Lansky, and now Mizell controls it. But he was running this operation, the bust of Louisiana governor. And the guy that was his jail cell mate, there were two of them in the cell, was the guy that busted John Gotti. They got him on drugs, not on all of his murders, the mob don out of New York. Well, he was in there in protective custody, this CIA New York cop, Richard, I can't remember his last name and don't want to remember it. But Otis was his roommate in there, and he was testifying against the Louisiana governor on that operation that they had going with Casey, finishing it up. Well, then Bush finds out why he's really there, and he throws him in a fucking hole out in Nevada for a year and a half to silence him, and he gets out, and where does he have to go to work? For E-Systems, Dallas, Texas, Daddy Bush's company, for about 3 years while they monitored him. And then he got out of there and got over into the NSA. When he did, he ended up, before his death in 2017, he was working directly for General Flynn, Michael Flynn. And Michael Flynn, 2 weeks after Otis is murdered, Okay, they hit him with a satellite, caused him a heart attack, massive heart attack, because I talked to him when he was in the vet hospital in Lincoln, or in Omaha. I talked to him on a cell phone because his son answered the phone and handed it over to him, put it up where he could tell me what happened. He said, they got me this time. I feel death coming on, Stu. He said, they got me with that fucking satellite, E-Systems. Shot me. Daddy Bush got me. Anyway, he was dead about less than a week later. He left the hospital to go into hiding, supposedly, and he ended up dead. But General Michael Flynn, was accused of some kind of action that he wasn't even involved in. So it's because he was under indictment, he had to resign as National Security Director underneath Trump. So, and then he proved his innocence, Michael Flynn did, that he was not involved in any of that. But that's who 007 Otis Johnson is. And here's what he told me before he died. And this was in 2017. He said, you don't worry about Mueller, Stu, that was putting on the false prosecution trying to do Trump. He said, don't worry about him, because if he doesn't do his job, he says, I'm going to personally put the handcuffs on his ass. And he said, put him in a prison for the rest of his life. So he said, you don't have to worry about that punk. We got him in our eyes on him. But he says, I want you to know something. They saw in CERN, C-E-R-N, the super collider over in Switzerland. He said that sometime soon, are you there, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometime soon, he said, this was in 2017, he says, around 2021 to 2024, two stars are going to smack planet Earth. They've seen in CERN. I said, you're talking about Wormwood, Revelation 13, and a sister star. He goes, you got that right. Because he was born a Christian, or raised a Christian, by his mother and his father. Now, he says, but there's another part to this. He said, there's a big fireball, six times the size of planet Earth, going to come whipping around the sun and hit Earth directly. Bam. I said, you're talking about the end of the Earth. He goes, you got that right. I said, when's that going to happen? He says, sometime, he says, from what they could see in the super collider, it was going to happen sometime in 2025, if not by the end of 2025. So we're in 2025. And it's probably by the prayer of people is keeping this thing from happening, or they just didn't see it in CERN in the timeline. But that CERN has been very accurate, and the National Security Agency uses it. So did I explain enough on Otis Johnson, Joe?
Now, when Stu does is he's doing it to verify where he gets his information about what we talk about today. And he talked about the Council of 12 or the Council of 13. And these are the people that work for Lucifer, that are the intermediary between Lucifer, the fallen angels, and the person walking the street. And they possess people. One of the things that people have forgotten about is the death of Diana Windsor, the wife of King Charles. And the reason that Diane was murdered, is because Charles would lose his grip on things, and she could see that he was possessed by a reptilian. And because she's monitored day and night, every hour, every second, every day, they're monitored for good reasons and then bad reasons. But she was able to get her way down to South Africa to meet a Zulu shaman that explained to her about the fallen angels taking a reptilian form. And so this is why, if you get a chance, listen to David Icke interviewing Arizona Wilder. There's 12 vignettes, and they're well worth it because it tells you who is at the top of the pyramid and what the City of London means. The city, not London, Metro. London, the city. And so when Stu talks to you about these things that happened way long time ago, he's showing you how he is verified with what he says. And you could piece this together by reading books that taking out the internet, like what I've suggested to you, and it will help you clarify in the direction in which we are going. Because right now, we're waiting to see what happens tomorrow, because supposedly they're going to release protests against Trump administration in 50 capital cities. So we'll see what happens from there, Stu.
Yeah, crisis actors like the ones that appeared, FBI Human Resources, it's already been testified before the Congress with Ray up there, the former FBI director, and the Congressman Crossing examining him, has brought out about FBI Human Resources. These aren't agents, these are crisis actors they hire to be there. And they broke in and they got arrested, but they were let out the back door and never charged like the other January the 6th rioters were. Okay, those are FBI crisis actors, just like the Antifa and Black Lives Matter crisis actors. I mean, and they don't arrest them. Oh my God!
They let them out the back door.
Yeah.
Another good example is the Pacific Palisades fire. That is human caused. Make no mistake about it. Because already the offers are coming in. We'll buy your property that's worth $2.2 million that used to have a house on it, but we'll give you $700,000 for the house.
For the property, yeah.
For the property.
Yep.
And who is doing this? BlackRock, headed by Larry Fink. And they're buying up all of that property for pennies on the dollar. The same thing happened in Paradise, California. And it happens everywhere. They burn you out because they can control the weather. They do it all the time. I think, Stu, we've had about enough here. But anyway, folks,
I want to tell everybody, get ready for your 401 pension plans to go bye-bye, because they're doing shorts with the hedge funds. Big hedge funds are involved in doing shorts on the particular money. And here they own the corporations, two-thirds of the corporations. And so they're paying you, but you're kicking in 10% of your paycheck towards your 401k and a whole bit. Well, they made sure that on these shorts that they're going to blow out, and the NASDAQ is where they dump the stock they don't want anymore, the corporations, because they're condensing them down to fewer corporations. So the NASDAQ is going to really take a beating, and so is your pension fund. So if you got any pension fund money, you might want to consider moving it someplace, because it's going to go bye-bye, I think, in the next few months, as they're trying to drive Trump out of office, more or less, okay? And screw the American people. I'm just telling you, hedge fund managers now are starting to scream, or not the managers, but different economists are starting to talk about it. It's out there on the internet. With that said, Joe, you got anything else to add besides prayer?
No, that's it. That's it.
Be praying, folks. Be praying. It's a very serious matter. Be praying for yourself as well as the walk right with God, Jesus. But start praying for this nation that we stay safe and the world.
The awakening has begun.
Yep, it has. It's going to get nasty, I'm afraid. Afraid we're going to see some big earthquakes and stuff this year yet in the next coming few months, because California has been rattling a little bit again. Past couple of weeks, a couple of different times. And so, anyway. Joe, I want to thank you, buddy, for doing the show with me.
All right, we'll do this later.
Okay, we'll talk. Have a good one.